Hello, everyone, and welcome to our third podcast episode in the GlobeSheet.com Thought Leadership series of articles and podcasts with Matthews Real Estate Investment Services. In this episode, we join Alex Harold, First VP and Senior Director of Industrial at Matthews, in conversation with Kelsey Marie Borland on the scorching industrial sector and what to know when investing. Let's join them.
Hello, I'm Kelsey Marie Borland, a reporter with GlobeSheet.com, and today we are taking a closer look at emerging markets in the industrial sector with Alex Harold, First Vice President and Senior Director of Industrial at Matthews Real Estate Investment Services. Thank you so much for taking the time, Alex.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so the pandemic fueled already voracious demand for industrial product. It has been well publicized that mature markets like Southern California and New York, New Jersey are operating at historically low levels of supply. I mean, the Inland Empire, I think, for example, has a vacancy rate of less than 0.5%, which is, you know, mind-blowing. But industrial activity has expanded throughout the country. What has growth been like outside of those already mature markets?
Yeah, so there's really just one answer to that question that I can think of, which is strong growth. There's not one market in the U.S. that I can name that hasn't seen growth on the industrial side, even in the secondary and tertiary markets. I really see this driver, you know, behind two main reasons. You know, the boom of e-commerce since COVID, which most of us already know at this point, but also the ripple effect from core and infill hyper demand. COVID catapulted the need for e-commerce as businesses moved away from traditional brick and mortar and moved into the online shopping arena. So this, of course, resulted in exponential increased need and demand for industrial space to store and distribute goods. You know, you've probably heard this notion before a ton, since it truly was the main catalyst behind the explosive industrial growth of the past 2 years. But what that has done to the untraditional industrial markets outside of major metros is create even more demand for those sleepy, cheaper areas. So this is what really leads to that final reason being a ripple effect from core and infill growth. You know, what I mean by that is well-located, infill, functional industrial properties in major metros has seen exponential growth in rents as every distributor wants to have access to that last mile, which is basically that final most expensive delivery route for distributors in infill urban markets close to the consumer. But what that has done is created a ripple effect into the outer markets as it drives out the previous distributors when their lease expires. You know, from there, the only place for them to go outside of these mature and core markets is to the outskirts of town. So now we're having hyper demand within the core, causing outward pressure and strong demand on these exterior markets. You know, this then leads even further into those secondary and tertiary markets. So yeah, really across the board, you know, whether infill or tertiary, industrial growth has been very strong, to say the least.
And what are some of those markets where you're seeing, extreme growth?
So the shipping ports across the U.S. is like the obvious answer. But what isn't talked about enough is really where population growth is evolving. You know, at the end of the day, more people equals the greater need for warehouse and logistics space. There's really two major tranches that I see in that kind of growth phase is the Southeast and tax-friendly, business-friendly states. So what we're seeing, at least on the Southeast side that we've been focusing on a lot, is Tennessee, so Nashville, Knoxville, Memphis, the Carolinas, so Charlotte, North Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, Georgia's a hot topic, so Atlanta, Alabama. When it comes to tax-friendly and business-friendly states, you know, you're seeing Texas, Florida, Arizona, the mountain states, so Wyoming and Idaho. I can't tell you how many owners I've sold a property for here in California that not only are they moving there, but they're also exchanging, doing a tax deferred exchange and buying an investment property in Idaho as well, and these mountain states. You see it with both general population movement, but also with businesses like Tesla, for instance. You know, Elon Musk officially relocated its corporate headquarters to Austin, Texas, just about 6 months ago. I think it was in December of 2021. Moving away from California, which is just not very tax and business friendly. So at the end of the day, yeah, the ports, but you know, where population really is evolving and the growth is heading to is, you know, like I said, more people is the greater need for warehouse and logistics in those areas.
Yeah. And that's really interesting to me because you're right that the ports or kind of border crossing ports of entry have been the major drivers in the past for industrial activity. I think obviously e-commerce is playing a role here that you need distribution centers near population centers. So that's clearly a driver, and you mentioned online shopping, but I'm curious overall what's driving industrial activity in some of these new markets. You mentioned the business-friendly atmosphere. Have you seen that industrial users are moving to markets that are more favorable in terms of regulation?
Of regulation? You see people moving to California. Like, for instance, like even globally, like we sold a site here in Compton. It was 40,000 square feet. And yeah, it's not business-friendly here in Compton, which is a great market of the South Bay here in Los Angeles, California, but they're going to be using it as their basically SoCal headquarters. And you see the people moving from Atlanta as well. It's not necessarily they're moving from one place to the other, but they're expanding because there's a need there. There's so much demand. It's the market of LA alone is huge. So there's a need to be in those markets, although they aren't tax friendly or business friendly. There's so much demand for these distributors to move in that it's worth the cost.
You mentioned earlier, too, that industrial demand in some of these urban cores or the major metros are really pushing some users out into the secondary or tertiary markets, right? Those users that maybe can't afford those rental rates anymore. I'm curious if there's the supply in those secondary and tertiary markets to accommodate that kind of outward migration.
Yeah, so the supply is definitely there, at least compared to, you know, infill core. But it's definitely tightening up. You know, over the past 2 years, those areas that were considered sleepy or cheaper have definitely driven up quite a bit. Like I'm no apartment expert, but it's just like what you're seeing in Nashville. A lot of the residents that were living, you know, downtown Nashville are getting driven out to the outskirts. And it's the same thing you're seeing on the industrial side. So the demand is there. Developers, you know, there's no land really to develop in the core or in infill. So a lot of the developers are moving to those outskirts and it's creating those properties that were traditionally, you know, not leased so much and were technically on the outskirts. All of a sudden you're infill with developers developing around you. So yeah, it's just all moving out, but strong growth, you know, obviously exponential growth within the core. But like I said before, that ripple effect to the outskirts is quite tremendous.
And is that mainly among manufacturing users?
Yeah, you know, manufacturing is hot right now. We're selling a lot of manufacturing throughout the U.S. Manufacturing is a bit of a different animal just because it's more of a specialized use. So these buildings, you know, they need to have high power, you know, huge grade level doors, a certain clear height. So those are more specialized buildings that the rents on those are typically a bit cheaper than your typical box. Like right now, what's hot is just your box, you know. High clear, square, as many docks as possible, just sustainable power. But when it comes to manufacturing, it's very specialized because usually it was built for the original manufacturer. So the person coming in, it needs to fit them specifically. So there's less tenants in that sense that it fits for, which means less demand and lower rents. However, at the end of the day, there's not much availability. So people are kind of giving up on exactly what they need in order to move into these types of spaces. But the demand is definitely there for manufacturing as well.
We've talked around them a bit, but now I want to hear about what you're seeing with the ports, especially the secondary and tertiary ones, as they are a large driver of industrial space.
Yeah, so the majority of that growth and activity is based on the ease and accessibility of importing and exporting goods, in essence, distribution. So, of course, there are the ports of LA, Long Beach, New York, New Jersey, but those markets have always seen strong, consistent growth on the industrial side. But there's been major exponential growth in the port markets where originally investors did not have their eyes on a few years ago, on the industrial side at least, which is, you know, the Port of Savannah, Georgia, Mobile, Alabama, Tacoma, Washington, Houston, Texas has always been a big port, but a lot more attention lately. So these port regions have seen explosive growth over the past 5 years, and even more so over the past 2 years since COVID. You know, although there was a slowdown of port growth during the heat of COVID, like any business, it's come roaring back. Port infrastructure market is expected to grow roughly 5% annually over the next 10 years. You know, what this means is really just great things for industrial. For the most part, there needs to be a middle ground between the port and the customer. You know, that middle ground is industrial in several forms. So dry storage, cold storage, freight terminals, truck parking. You know, truck parking alone is a major industrial topic in Long Beach, here in Los Angeles, California. You know, this demand has made truck parking rents soar 50 to 100% in the past 2 years. Pre-COVID, we were underwriting Long Beach trucking land. And when I say trucking land, just paved land, anywhere between $75 to $100 a square foot. You know, now we're starting to see it break $200 a square foot on the sale mark. It's pretty wild to say the least. You're seeing trucking land in Long Beach rent for $1 a land foot per month. So every square foot of land, it's $1 per month. So that's almost $45,000 per month for an acre of land, not including the triple net. So maybe tack on another $10,000 a month for that. So basically, you're paying $600,000 to $700,000 a year to rent an acre of paved land in the ports, at least on the in Long Beach.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's really been incredible to watch the user demand and really kind of the subsequent increase in pricing. That has also culminated in just an incredible appetite for industrial investment. And a lot of new players also entering that market, right? You've seen a lot of investors allocating in incredible amounts of capital to buy industrial product, but the competition is really, really strong in that space. What is your advice to industrial investors that are looking to break in to the industrial space? And what are the best emerging markets for investment?
Yeah, so you can't go wrong investing in core markets like LA, but like you said, for new players, competition is super fierce. The expectations in those type of markets are quick all cash transactions in dense markets like that, because you're competing with the big dogs. As a new player, I'd focus on keyword being functional assets in growing markets on the outskirts of the core. So competition is less fierce, and one day as the markets keep pushing out, that distribution building you bought on the outskirts of town is now all of a sudden an infill market. You know, you want to be in the line or the direction of growth, or, you know, you can focus on smaller transportation hubs in the Southeast, like markets you might have not heard of, but you should look into Huntsville, Alabama, Lakeland, Florida. You really can't go wrong as long as you focus on the basics, you know, location and functionality. Functionality being clear height, you know, several dock high doors, excess land.
And so industrial activity really took off during the pandemic, like we've talked about. A lot of that was due to increased online spending during stay-at-home orders. But I'm curious, and you know, I think this is a big question for a lot of people, is the current industrial market and the trends that we're seeing, is that sustainable? I mean, you've talked a lot about, you know, increased pricing. We've talked a lot about the dearth of supply. Do you think that these are trends now for the long haul, or do you kind of expect this activity to level off at some point?
You know, there's a very short supply for industrial, and developers just can't keep up with the demand. I don't believe the growth we saw over the past 2 years is sustainable, because that was a perfect storm of COVID, changing consumer habits paired with all-time low interest rates. You know, depending on the market, you saw 25 to 50% growth over that 2 year period. I don't believe that type of hyper growth is sustainable, but there's a very long runway for healthy, sustainable growth. And experts are expecting 5 to 10% annual rent growth for industrial over the next 5 years, just in general. E-commerce is not slowing down, and the need for industrial will continue. I might be a bit biased because I strictly focus on industrial, so I'm a huge fan, but I'm very bullish on industrial over the next 10 years.
Great. No, I think it's a really exciting time to be in the industrial market. I think there's a great argument to make that industrial is certainly the darling of commercial real estate. Alex, thank you so much. This has been so interesting, and I really appreciate you taking the time. We have been talking with Alex Harold, the first vice president and senior director of industrial at Matthews Real Estate Investment Services.
That concludes this episode brought to you by Matthews Real Estate Investment Services and hosted on GlobeStreet.com. I'm Jeffrey Metz. Thanks for listening. For the latest news and insights on all things commercial real estate, as well as other episodes in this series, go to www.globestreet.com.